Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Lagerman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Oh yeah, welcome in Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli coming soon.
Boy, he's got a good game tonight.
Falcons. Saints. NFC
you had to look
South.
Your notes for
I had
that?
To look it down. Yeah,
holy
down.
Cow.
Great game.
Must not be that good of a game. You got to look at your notes off the top of your head,
I
man.
Mean, there's a lot of games
Falcons
going on
Saints.
This week. Yeah, sure.
It's
big game.
It's a big game, you know. Huge. Team that was in the Super Bowl last year. And
Saints playing good.
Saints are playing really good. You know, they found a running game, and the defense is much improved. Some of those guys along the defensive front are playing really well for the Saints, and I think that's a fantastic matchup. Fantastic game. I think it's the best Thursday night game this year.
There have been some pretty good ones, though.
Yeah, there been some good ones. But, I mean, this is – I mean, this is
December, big
Drew
matchup.
Brees. Yeah, I mean, it's a division game. Drew Brees, you know, Matt Ryan, took his team to the Super Bowl last year. You know, I mean, I don't know if it gets any better than this. You know, the Falcons are trying to fight their way in.
They are. They're not in right now.
No, no.
Sure.
So they got a ways to go.
A lot of work to do for the Falcons. The Jags get the Seattle Seahawks Sunday, Everbank Field. You know, going into the season, you kind of looked at the schedule ahead. You know, you just wanted this game to really mean something. That was the hope. That was kind of a long shot in training camp, right?
Well, the hope
way
was.
We felt about this.
Wait a minute. The hope was we weren't talking about this game. We were talking about this three-game homestand.
That's right.
You know, the Colts, the Seahawks, the Texans, and these games having meaning. And could you have asked for anything better? No. I mean, this is perfect. And it's going to be very exciting, a 4:25 kickoff, plenty of time to tailgate, get whatever you got to get done earlier in the day.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
And get oiled up and ready to go.
I like that. Yes. And we'll be on the air with the Publix Tailgate Show that day at 1:30 here on 1010XL, Publix Tailgate Show, and then 3:30 with Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. Always fun with the later games, and it'll end with the lights on. It'll be night and a nice Jags W to,
cool weather.
To close it out. Yeah, a little cool.
Fantastic.
A little chilly. Bring out the long sleeves.
Fantastic.
Russell Wilson. Blake Bortles, Jags defense, Seahawks defense.
That's, I mean, that's it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, you're talking about two great defenses because I still consider Seattle have a great defense for the success that they've had over a long period of time.
They've proven it for a number of years.
Russell Wilson is, you know, he's become a marquee player, you know, one of those players that's fantastic. And, you know, the one thing that I will say about Russell Wilson, first of all, he's won a pile of games. I mean, his career record is 64-27-1.
It's pretty good.
But maybe more impressive, the Seahawks as a football team. Regular season games in December and in January, they're 20-5 with Russell Wilson at the helm. 20-5 in regular season games in December and January.
Wow.
Okay, so they've been down this road before. Okay, they've played this song before. You know, all the little kind of cute things you want to talk about. Russell Wilson has been there and done that, and so has his football team.
It's just another game for these guys, really.
Well, it's not just another game.
No, in the build-up to it, they've seen the build-up. They know what it is. It's just, let's go play the game.
Yeah, it's not anything I think that they overreact to or get tight about. I mean, it's, hey, you know, for them, it's let's play ball.
Telvin Smith has been back on the practice field this week. Still in protocol, team says, but he has been on the practice field. That's a good step for him.
Well, it is. And, you know, when you talk about playing Russell Wilson and covering their guys, you know, as we heard Tashawn Gibson say in the clip earlier on the Doug Marrone show, covering a guy for 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds, Russell Wilson's got, you know, the ability to run the ball. Having a linebacker who is one of the fastest in the league on the field would be a big help. But you got to have him back on the field, you know, the way he is. You don't want to have a guy on the field that's concerned, you know, okay, I don't want to.
You need Telvin Smith.
You need Telvin Smith. You don't want
a portion
of
Telvin Smith.
A Telvin Smith that's, you know, unsure of, you know, delivering a hit, unsure of taking a hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we'll see how the rest of the week goes for Telvin in that regard. The Jags offense, the offensive line, Parnell's back out there. He was back out there last week. How'd those guys do up front last week?
Okay. You know, I thought there was a – first of all, against pass protection, they were solid. You know, Parnell gave up the one sack on the edge there where he was just a little bit soft on the corner. You know, and you could tell he was a little rusty, you know, coming back from the injury, you know, trying to get back into the flow of things. I mean, a solid first game back, but nothing where you went, yeah, it's the Jeremy Parnell of old. You know, he's still working back. But, I mean, overall, I mean, not that impressive. I mean, if you look at some of the rushing stats, you know, the running game didn't really do anything to scare anybody. You know, I think it was just – and first off, you know, the Colts are very good against the run. You know, give them credit. I said this before the game. You got to come out and be aggressive to take advantage of the weakness of the Colts, which was the secondary. And then during the course of the game, when they lost Pierre Desir, one of the starting corners, a veteran, and ended up having three rookies in the secondary out of five in their nickel package, I mean, you got to go to 11 personnel and take advantage of that, and they did. But this is a game, though, that you've got to find a way to run the ball to take some of the pressure off of your passing game. And it's not going to be easy to do.
No, not at all. And it's a group up front for the Seahawks. As you said on the previous show, the Doug Marrone show, they load the box. But up front, the defensive line against this group.
Let me talk about, you know, because you talked about, you know, the offensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the reality. In the last four games, you know, Leonard Fournette has averaged under 3 yards a carry.
That's right.
At 2.93. In the first six games, he averaged 4.58. You know, so, okay, you ask me how the offensive line did. Okay, Fournette's numbers, you know, last week, he actually dropped a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, because he didn't have a particularly strong game. And there were some plays that he had that made you go, that's not the Fournette that we saw earlier in the season. You know, the stiff arm, and he kind of retreats, and he has a minus five loss running out of bounds in the fourth quarter, where you'd like to see him, you know, power through a guy or make a guy miss and, you know, stay in bounds, keep the clock running, you know. But the one good thing is, I think, that was encouraging, he appeared to have a burst in the open field. But around traffic to where he had to go with power, you know, you can see that it's just not quite there. And I hope that it's something that can get better, you know, that the offensive line can get better, because they're going to need it this week against the Seahawks.
We haven't seen a lot of Chris Ivory lately. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, look, you fumble the ball, you know, and when you fumble the ball, you know, getting playing time is about trust, you know. And Chris Ivory, you know, had a fumble in Arizona. Mm-hmm. He's had a high percentage of fumbles for the year. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he's got to kind of work his way back, you know, and kind of get back into that trust factor. And T.J. Yeldon's been doing a pretty good job. T.J., I think, is a more of a viable receiving threat. So, you know, he's getting more play time. I mean, T.J., I thought, did a good job in the passing game last week. You know, 12 and a half yards of catch on two catches. It's pretty good.
He did. Blake Bortles has worked himself into the run game a little bit, too. There was that read option thing they were doing a couple of weeks ago, which worked a few times. I don't know if you want to hang your hat on that all the time, but it is a little wrinkle. If things are clogged up in there, you might can get somebody out of position.
Well, it can, you know, and I think that, you know, when you try to stop that, you know, for example, you know, the Jaguars saw that with Jacoby Brissett, okay? They tried to do that read option. Poslusny was all over it.
That's right.
Okay. The Colts tried to do the little the jet sweep. Poslusny was all over that. You know, so the linebackers, you know, are the ones that have to kind of be aware of that. And the Seahawks have two really good linebackers in KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner. And so it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to fool them. You know, so. And you also initially have to fool the defensive ends, which is, you know, Michael Bennett. Look, he's been around the block now. Mm-hmm. Frank Clark, it might be a little bit, easier, but more likely to have success against Frank Clark if he were the end guy on the line of scrimmage on that. But it's, you know, it's, running any kind of play against the Seahawks defense is challenging. You know, the big question that I have, you know, because in the whole week practice, you know, you're leading up to the Seahawks to go on the other side of the ball. Because you can emulate what the Seahawks do on defense, because your defense plays a lot of the principles mm-hmm. that the Seahawks do, because Todd Walsh and Gus Bradley, you know, the obviously the lineage coming from Pete Carroll. But how do you emulate or to imitate their offense in practice?
It's tough, right?
I mean, how do you you know, does Chad Henne
plays Russell Wilson?
Does he be the chicken?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not easy
to
do.
That's a great question. Let's go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Thursday night football. The New Orleans Saints at 9-3. The Falcons at 7-5. Tony Buscelli has the call for Westwood One, the analyst tonight. What's up, Tone?
How we doing, boys?
Great. We'll start with that question. How do you imitate the Seattle offense in a practice setting?
I almost think you have to get one of your wide receivers or running backs to play Russell Wilson. And you almost have to do it like, on this play, you're going to scramble, and, you know, that's the only thing I can think of, because Chad Henne's not going to run around there. But if you play one of your wide receivers or running backs back there to emulate his scramble ability, then you're not going to get the great arm that he has. So I think it's very difficult, because you have nobody on the roster who can come even close to giving you that look. I guess that would have been one reason to keep Brandon Allen, because at least he could give you some mobility back there to run around and still throw it. I mean, obviously not at the level of Russell Wilson, but he'd be the closest thing on the roster that you had.
I would have talked to Jadon Mickens, okay, who's your wide receiver punt returner, and let him take snaps. You know, because, I mean, that's the kind of elusiveness that Russell Wilson has at times is like Jadon Mickens, you know. So, but it's not easy.
No, not at all. Hey, Tony, how is this Jags offense going to move the ball and score points this week?
Well, you better block the front four, and I think that's a concern. I mean, the two defensive ends, especially Michael Bennett, he is very disruptive, and he will line up over anyone he wants, meaning he can be the right end, left end, right defensive tackle, and third down, left defensive tackle. He's going to go find where he gets most, where he feels like he can win and he's most comfortable, and he is a handful. Frank Clark's a good player. You know, you got I think maybe the best linebacker in all of football, Bobby Wagner. Rome in the middle. It's a really good front seven. Everyone talks about the injuries in the back half of Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman. Yes, those are big injuries, and their secondary is not what it once was. But the pass rush and the skill at linebacker is as good as there is in this league, and I think it's very difficult to move the ball against them.
We got to get something. We got to throw the ball down the field too.
Yeah, I think one of the things you got to spread them out.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what Houston did. They spread out and the quarterback made plays.
Yeah, but you're talking about Deshaun Watson now. I mean, look, it's a different
animal. I'm just telling you,
that's
the only team that's really moved it at a high level against them.
No, I don't know, Tony. I watched the Atlanta film today. That was the game that I watched this morning. Atlanta did a great job. They had balanced play action. They did a great job.
They didn't put up big numbers, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff, because I was looking at
that. No, but they were effective, and they got points. You know, they were able to get some of the points off of takeaways, but as an offense, they were putting it down the field. Now, I'm not saying throwing it down the field deep or anything, but they were able to have some really nice drives against them. And, heck, if you look quite simply, I mean, look, they won. They scored 34 points against the Seahawks defense, and that's that game showed what the blueprint was, and I think Philadelphia weren't able to execute.
Here's a perfect example of that game, and just because I was looking at it, if you said, if I told you on Sunday that Blake Bortles is going to throw for under 200 yards, so he's going to throw for 195, and you're only going to rush for 89 yards as a team, what's the outcome of the football game?
With this team?
Yeah, how many defensive points they scored that day?
Yeah, I mean, well,
but my point is, they did. No, I agree, but I'm speaking to Jeff's point. It's not like the Atlanta offense was going up and down the field against them. They rushed for under 90 yards. They got it because of takeaways and getting some turnovers. They took advantage of those situations where they could. But I think, you know, outside of the Houston Texans, there hasn't been a team that has moved it really effectively against the Seahawks, and the way they did it is spread them out.
Tony Buscelli's at a Pink Floyd concert, apparently. We're going to come back and
they got a little weird thing going on here on the video boards, too. It's like a little techno, like, I don't know what they're trying to do here. I don't know, I'm not sure what's going on right now.
Well, hey, it's New Orleans, man.
We'll figure it out.
We're actually in Atlanta.
Oh, that's right, Atlanta.
Come on, Logs. It's Thursday Night Football in Atlanta.
Oh, you got an
easy
trip.
Easy
trip.
I thought it was in New Orleans for some reason. My bad.
Well, because you kept on saying the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and you're used to hearing the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
That's what it was.
That's what it is.
Yep.
That's what it is. We'll come back and look into the matchups on defense for the Jaguars this week, especially on the outside. How do they match up out there with the corners and Baldwin and all that? Break all that down when we return. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Can't be a fake team because of who they are.
What's their record?
8-4, same as yours.
All right.
Former Super Bowl champs, perennial playoff contender.
All right, we were sorry last year, but we're not this year. We ain't talking about last year. Y'all got to stop, man. Y'all got to stop doing that, man. The media, y'all do that too much. Y'all be hyping people up. Y'all hype teams up. Stop doing that, man. Y'all got to stop doing that. It's a new year. It's a new week. Everything. It's new big dogs in around the NFL. Y'all got to stop doing that. Stop hyping people up. Same thing I just told him. Y'all going to hype up who y'all want to hype up. Y'all not going to hype up who y'all don't want to hype up. I mean, we still having the same conversation we've had all year. We beat the hell out of Pittsburgh. They got a better record than both of us right now. Y'all wasn't hyping us up after that, so do I think y'all going to hype us up after this game? Nah. Whether we win or lose, y'all, it is what it is with y'all.
That's Jalen Ramsey in the locker room Wednesday when asked about the Seattle Seahawks and the state. Is this a statement game for this franchise? Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shatterick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli is in Atlanta, Georgia. It's always must listen when Jalen Ramsey goes to a microphone, though, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, he's definitely he definitely gives you something that's not the typical, you know, cookie cutter box. Yeah, you know, we're going to give it everything we got, you know, concentrate on the next play. I love it.
There's an edge, Tony, to this defense. I mean, it's led, I think, by him in that regard, that they're tired of hearing about Seattle and all this. They want respect over here, and That was kind of edgy from Jalen there, Tone.
Well, first of all, I love it. I love Jalen's attitude. I love the surliness. I love the chip. I love the fact that it's, you know, kiss my you-know-what attitude. But at the end of the day, the way you get the respect that you want is you go beat teams like Seattle, and you go take it. It's the only way you get respect in this league, in this game, you know, and I think Jalen and that defense knows it. They're tired of hearing about it, and I think they're going to go out and show it. I think the defense is going to have a great game.
How's the matchup on the outside, Baldwin and all the rest?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic matchup for the Jaguars. You know, I think Doug Baldwin, first of all, he's a good football player. Is he a true elite number one in the National Football League? No. Paul Richardson on the other side? No. Jimmy Graham, an excellent target, you know, especially in the red zone where he's been targeted more than any other wide receiver, period, in the National Football League. He's got great catch radius. He's tough to deal with. I don't know if he's fast anymore because Jimmy Graham used to have great speed. Yeah, it doesn't show a whole lot of that, but he's like a power forward, you know, that posts up in basketball and he just uses his body. And he's got great hands. You know, so Jimmy Graham, I think, is the one you worry about, certainly in the red zone and also in the middle of the field. But I think the corners on the outside should be able to do a great job. And I also Lockett, who is great when plays kind of get off schedule. He may be better than any of the wide receivers at making things happen for Russell Wilson when the play is extended by Russell Wilson. So, and I think that'll be, you know, a great matchup for Aaron Colvin. I think a challenging one for Aaron Colvin. But I think the other two matchups, you know, A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey against Paul Richardson and Doug Baldwin, I feel great about that matchup.
Yeah, but, Jeff, I just believe that it's not the skill set outside that worries me. They don't make a lot of on-schedule plays that scare you.
Right.
But you better plaster this week because at some point in the game, multiple times in the game, Russell Wilson's going to get outside the pocket and run around for 7 seconds. And that's when he's most dangerous of finding guys down the field. And that's where their big plays come. And so you're going to have to play in your head longer than you're used to if you're a defensive back and a linebacker in coverage this week.
Yeah, you know, watching the game, you know, against the watching the film against the Eagles, you know, Russell Wilson, I want to say, I don't have the exact number, but it was probably, Tony, somewhere in the range of 9 or 10 times that he extended the play and threw it. You know, I'm not talking about extending the play, getting out of the pocket, and then taking off and running, which, but his extending the play to throw the ball, I think there were maybe two, maybe three plays to where it hurt the Eagles, okay? But they weren't like the 50-something yard, you know, big giant plays. But if you looked at the remaining 6 or 7 plays that he extended the play and then he got hammered or he had to throw it incomplete, throw it away, you know, so it's not like that every time he extends the play, he's killing you to where you should be concerned about allowing him out of the pocket. To me, you bring it. And I'm not saying you bring blitzes, but you bring your pass rush, and if he gets out of the pocket, you adjust and allow the speed of the defense and the coverage to take care of business.
Hey, Tony, we touched on this on a Jaguars Monday a little while back. This is a defense that talks a lot before, during, and then after the game when they do it to you.
They talk more than you, JP.
I know, and I get paid to talk for a game. So is this a group in Seattle that you know, we talked about maybe Baldwin could be a guy that watch out for the late cut, you know, if Ramsey's in his ear or something like that. What do you think of this group in that, in the game outside of the game there?
Well, they're a scrappy group, and they're a proud group, especially Doug Baldwin. He plays with a chip on his shoulder because he doesn't ever believe he gets the respect that he's due as a wide receiver in this league. He's not a dirty player, but he's going to play through the whistle. He's going to block you, and he's going to get after you from start to finish. And I can see a physical confrontation between Doug Baldwin and Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, but I don't see it being initiated by Doug Baldwin.
Oh, no. No, I'm just saying I can see it.
Me either.
No, it's gonna. I'm not saying the AJ Green situation. And I'm not saying where guys are getting kicked out or anything like that. But they're going to be going at it during that game. Those two will go at it, and it'll be a physical matchup. And I think Jalen's the much better player, but Doug Baldwin is a scrappy, competitive, good football player.
Fun to watch. We're looking forward to it. We'll come back and get into the picks. The gap is closing.
I did well, didn't I?
Both of you guys did well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do so well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get the results.
Because you had to go first, and if you're in the lead, I don't think you're even in the lead anymore.
We'll see when we come back where it stands the second week in December. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
We are a run team first, you know, and I know these last couple of games, it's going to be the same thing, you know, so... Our best job is just coming together as a whole, you know, helping Blake out. You know, we're coming together, helping the running game out more, and just spreading the ball out.
There's Leonard Fournette, Jaguars running back. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, the new place for Thursday night football, the Saints and the Falcons. What a game we got tonight, Tony. This Saints team's playing good football. They're playing good defense. They're running the football all of a sudden with a handful of backs. And the Falcons are trying to stay afloat here in December.
Your effects feed will go live approximately 2 minutes before game.
We'll get back with Tony in just a moment.
I'm here. I'm back.
Oh,
sorry about that. We had a little issue here.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's the Saints team is it's the least they've leaned on Drew Brees since he's been here.
It's weird, right?
As far as what they've asked him to do. Now, he's putting up great numbers, third in passing yards. He's completing over 71% of his passes. So he's having a great year, but the combination of Ingram and Kamara is unbelievable. The rookie Alvin Kamara is, you watch him on tape, and what he does is unbelievable. And how he went so far down in the draft, I mean, his ability to make people miss and how fluid he is in this catching the ball out of the backfield. And then he also still has the power to break tackles. He is a lot of fun to watch, and he is a threat. And they're getting it done on the ground.
Yeah,
they're running the ball and ball control, and it makes it them such a dangerous team. They're possessing the ball over 31 minutes, so that defense isn't on the field as long. And the defense is not great, but they're in the upper half of the NFL now, and it makes this Saints team just hell to deal with. They're an outstanding football team.
Your description of Kamara, fluid. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, he is so smooth, fluid, and powerful at the same time, and you wouldn't really think that he is, but he's a great back, and he's a great back not only as a runner but as a receiver, which is really kind of, you know, when you're talking about teaming a running back with Drew Brees, I mean, he's like the perfect type of guy.
You know, there was
so one thing on that, Jeff, I learned this week, it's not Kamara, because I was saying Kamara too, it's Kamara for future reference. And to your point of breaking tackles, how about this stat? And through the first 12 weeks of the season, he has 131 touches. On those 131 touches, he has forced 40 missed tackles.
Wow.
I mean, it's unreal. And you turn on the tape, and it's almost like, I can't believe I'm watching. He's phenomenal. He's averaging like seven. He's averaging 7 yards a carry.
And was he a third-round pick?
Third-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty incredible. On the other side, you know, Atlanta, Julio Jones had 2 100-yard games until a couple of weeks ago when he broke out and had the 12-catch, 253-yard, 2-touchdown game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that was the week I had him in fantasy.
Funny how that works. Huh. But only 3 touchdowns all year. What's going on with Ryan and Julio here?
Well, and 2 of those touchdowns came in that Week 12 matchup where he had all the touches. Last week, he only had 2 receptions, which is a season low on 24 yards. Had a couple drops, and Xavier Rhodes for the Vikings just did an amazing job. This offense is not the same. They're averaging almost 10 points less a game than they did last year. They obviously had the change in offensive coordinators. Kyle Shanahan's at the 49ers as head coach. Steve Sarkisian comes in. And they're better in some areas. They're better in the red zone. They're better on third down. But overall, the explosive plays, the consistency, putting points on the board just isn't there. It's not offense. And the only thing that has changed is the guy calling the plays.
It'll be interesting to see how the Falcons try to approach Drew Brees in this ball. Great pass. He gets rid of the ball so quick. I mean, 71%. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, that accuracy is just crazy. You know, the Falcons have a couple good pass rushers. And the guy that I think really impressed me, Tony, from watching the Seattle tape is Takaris McKinley, I believe it is. Their rookie round. How do you say his name?
Yeah, Tack McKinley.
Tack McKinley.
It's Tack. Yep, Tack McKinley.
He knows how to rush the passer now. And he is a good football. How many sacks he got on the year?
He has 5 only, but he started slow. He has 1. He has 1 sack in the last 3 games.
Okay.
And so he's come on late. He started very slow throughout the year, but now that he's gotten it going, he is playing really good football, to your point. And has turned it on as of late. He's a better pass rusher, in my opinion, right now, than Vic Beasley.
Oh, no! From just watching the one game, Tony, the Seattle film, it's not even close.
Well, you know they moved Vic Beasley. He's no longer even he's not a defensive end on first and second down. He is their Sam linebacker. And so they've moved his position. He's still their one of their sub rushers, but his production is way down, Jeff.
Yeah, the year that he had last year, I remember, you know, watching him the first couple of years, and he almost started to use the B word a little bit, which was bust.
I was wondering what B word you were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Because, you know, I mean, supposedly he had, you know, shoulder problem that he ended up getting fixed. But then last year, what did he have, Tony, last year? Like 17 sacks or something like that?
He did, Jeff, but I think he's a one-trick pony. He's a speed guy, and he beat a lot of bad tackles last year.
But I just remember seeing the numbers that he generated, and I said there's no way in the world that Vic Beasley will ever replicate 17 sacks in a season ever again. Just from watching him the first couple of years, you know, I did, good player, athletic, fast, but not a great pass rusher.
All right, guys, let's get to the results of our picks so far for
the season.
I was 9-7, which is okay, a little above 500. Baselli 11-5, Loggeman 12-4, and it is tight for the season. I'm still in first place, 110-66. Baselli 109-67, Loggeman 104-72, certainly within striking distance.
Oh, I got tired of
playing. So I'm only one game back.
You are right here. You have arrived, Tony, finally.
Oh, I'm coming.
Oh, you're coming too, Wags.
I'm coming.
Yeah, it's a tight one. So we start off with tonight, Thursday Night Football. Saints 9-3. Falcons have to have this game at 7-5. And since I'm in the lead, I'll pick first and I'll take the New Orleans Saints.
Boy. The Falcons have to have this.
Yeah, they might need it. Yeah.
I'm gonna say the desperate team, the Falcons, get a win tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're at home, but I don't believe that they can do it. I think the Saints are too good, and I'm taking Drew Brees.
Okay. Colts and the Bills in Buffalo. Bad weather in Buffalo. Shocker. Mm. So I'm gonna go with the Bills.
Bills.
Is anybody gonna pick the Colts after watching them last week?
No.
They're a bad football team.
Another good game. Vikings against the Panthers, who are in the hunt there in the NFC South.
Desperate team right there, JP. Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Vikings on the road.
Yeah, I got the Vikings as well. I think they're the best team in football right now.
Yeah, they're on a roll now. I'm taking the Vikings too.
Mm-hmm. Bears, Bengals in Cincinnati, and we'll go with the Cincinnati Bengals, who should have won last week.
Well, I'm going to go with you, JP.
I got the Bengals.
All Bengals there, too.
Okay, Packers at the Browns. Could this be the week? Sashi Brown's out of there.
Uh-oh.
Nope, Packers.
Yeah, I got the Packers. I feel it didn't work out for Sashi Brown, but he's a friend, and I feel bad. Hate to see when a friend gets fired.
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah, well,
who you got, Logs?
Should have never been in that position anyway. Great guy, though. I can't do it. I mean, I want to, but I can't.
Okay.
I mean, Packers aren't going to lose to the Browns. It just shouldn't happen.
Okay. Well, so you're going Green Bay. 49ers 2-10. Texans 4-8. This is in Houston. And the Texans
will win. Who is it? Texans
and 49ers at the Texans.
You know, 49ers at the Texans.
Yeah. I'm going to give it San Francisco on the road.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not. I got the Texans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say this, guys. Tony, you know about the game boards that I do every week, you know, where I'm putting in. I actually jumped ahead this week a little bit and did my Texans game board.
It's great.
I mean, the lineup?
It's terrible.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, the number of injuries that they've had on their football team is unbelievable.
John McClain said it's the worst he's seen in like 38 years covering the league.
I mean, literally almost had to redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
With that being said, I still think Bill O'Brien is a really good football coach, and I'm taking the Texans.
Okay, big game, AFC West, Raiders, Chiefs, both teams 6-6. The Chiefs are going to get off their slide finally. Kansas City.
I'm taking the
Chiefs.
The game's
in Kansas City?
Yes.
I got Kansas City.
Kansas City across the board.
Okay, Cowboys at the Giants. I guess Eli's going to start this week, but the Cowboys are going to win.
Cowboys.
Yeah, I got Cowboys.
Okay, Lions at the Bucks. How hurt is Stafford is the great question.
I don't know. It's not really been determined yet whether he's going to play, but they say he was practicing.
Give me Tampa Bay.
I'm taking Detroit.
I'll go Tampa Bay.
You're good, good. That's one I gain on you right there, everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Detroit.
Titans at the Cardinals. I'm going the Arizona Cardinals to knock them off. Blaine Gabbert and all.
I got Cardinals.
I'm taking the Titans.
Jets, Broncos in Denver. Jets.
Jets.
I'm taking the Broncos.
Redskins, Chargers. at the soccer stadium.
You got JP. Pick it.
Chargers. They're hot.
Chargers.
I'm taking the Chargers.
Eagles-Rams, good matchup. Most of the country will see that at 425. In Los Angeles, the Coliseum. Eagles will bounce back on the road.
I got the Rams.
I'm taking the Eagles.
Sunday night, Ravens-Steelers in Pittsburgh. Steelers will win this one.
I'm taking the Ravens.
Ravens.
Wow. Monday night, Patriots-Dolphins in Miami. New England all
Patriots.
Day and night. Yes. New England across the board. Seahawks-Jags. All Jags, all day at Everbank Field for me.
Big win.
Are you sure, JP, you want to take them?
Yes, I'm sure. Are you sure?
I always pick the Jags.
Okay, well, there you have it. The picks are in. We'll have the results next week. It's closer than it has been all year. Sounds like it's getting ramped up in the dome there, Tony. So enjoy.
Yeah, no one's here, though, but the music's loud.
Yeah. The dance club that is Mercedes-Benz Stadium is rocking and rolling tonight for Thursday night. Have a great call, Tony. We'll see you this weekend.
All right. See you guys.
All right, Tony Buscelli, Westwood One Radio. He's the analyst. We'll come back. Injury report.
Just got it.
We'll take a look at it. It just came out from Jaguars Public Relations. Our final thoughts will go around the league as well. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Jeff Logman, Tony Buscelli's out of here. The injury report just sent down by Jaguars Public Relations. A couple of guys back on the field full today. Marquise Lee, who was out, did not practice yesterday with a foot issue, was limited today. Paul Posluszny was not on the field yesterday. He was limited today, a groin issue. Those are the real changes there. Josh Wells limited, a concussion yesterday, full practice today, full for Telvin Smith, Burnett, and Blake Bortles as well.
Well, just a clarification, Josh Wells sustained a concussion last week,
that's right,
in practice. Did not practice yesterday and limited today.
A lot of Seahawks on the list.
There's a pile of them, but you know, what's the one thing that all the guys that are not practicing have in common? Give me the name of the guys. Okay, no, just name them off. The guys that have not practiced
this
week.
Let's see. Cam Chancellor.
Okay.
Bobby Wagner.
Okay.
Michael Bennett.
Okay.
Abushi.
Yep.
Brown.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne Graham, Brown.
Nazir Jones.
Okay. For the most part, all of those guys are veteran guys.
Okay.
Okay. Nazir Jones is a rookie out of North Carolina. I think he's the one exception to that. Adeye Abushi's got a shoulder issue. He's missed the last two games. So I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. Probably not. Posick is the rookie that's been playing in his place. But all the other guys are veteran guys. You know, Bobby Wagner, Dwayne Brown. I mean, those guys, look, they don't – those guys don't need to practice until Friday. So I'm not reading anything into that oh, boy, the Uh-oh. Seahawks might not have – No, that's not the
case. It probably looks
the
same the last couple of weeks.
That's probably
too.
Right.
Yeah. Let's take a quick look around the National Football League. Some key storylines this week, starting with Sashi Brown fired in Cleveland. We're all close to Sashi here, former legal counsel here, general counsel here for the Jaguars. Fired in Cleveland after a couple of years there. They weren't successful on the field. There was a different way of going about business up there, it seemed like.
Well, I mean, they brought in a lot of analytics, I think, which has a part in football. And look, I like Sashi Brown. I think he's a good guy. But I don't think he was qualified to run an NFL team, certainly not qualified to be picking the horses, so to speak, when it comes to drafting players. And the other thing that I would add, and look, I hope he'll probably find another job in a great capacity because I think Sashi's got something that he can add to a franchise, but just not in that capacity. But I was very surprised to hear that Haslam, the owner, came out, and once they announced the firing, that he said that Hugh Jackson would be back for 2018.
That's right, yeah.
Because, look, if Tom Coughlin were coaching that football team, they'd have more wins under their belt. You know what I mean? by what I'm saying by that?
Yeah.
And that if Hugh Jackson is the coach that you stick with and you're going to give him another year, well, you're going to be hiring a general manager. Why would you make that announcement? Why would you not just say, look, you know, 28, you know, going ahead, that we will hire a general manager, and then we will determine what happens going forward after we make that decision and we make that hire? Because he's won one game in 2 years.
1-27, right?
Tom Coughlin would have won more than one game. The great coaches or the good coaches in the National Football League would have won more than one game.
Tough situation in Cleveland and has been for a long time, 15 years or so, and it continues. We'll keep you posted there. Ryan Shazier of the Steelers had spinal stabilization surgery.
Oh, man.
That was a horrible scene in that game. It was a tough game anyway. It always is between those two, the Steelers and the Bengals. But that hit especially kind of woke up a lot of folks. Head down, first of all, not a head-up tackle, and then he knew right away something was wrong.
He had his head up, but he launched – okay, at the player, and the first contact that is made is with the head. And that's the style that Shazier plays with sometimes, and that he will launch and he will lead with his head and look terrible. You know, I've got past experience with a neck injury with a teammate.
Yep.
And when I saw it happen, you know, I was like, oh my. And when he grabbed his back, and first thing that I was looking for in the game was trying to see him moving the extremities. And you could see immediately that he was raising his arm and he was flexing his hand. And I think he almost wanted to look at it himself to make sure that he could see himself moving, you know, his arms or his fingers or whatever. But you never saw the legs move, at least I didn't. And that's a major concern. And the Steelers have made no announcement as to, you know, is there movement in the legs? Is there not movement in the legs? And look, I just hope and pray for Ryan Shazier that he's going to be okay. I'm not talking about to play football again, just that he's going to be okay going forward to live a normal, healthy life, you know, and if he can play football again, great. But the first part of that is more important than anything.
What did you make of the rest of that football game, all the hits and the late hits and the suspensions and all that stuff?
Yeah, I got – no problem with football being tough and division, you know, rivalries, you know, going a little extra. That's the way it is. You know, that's the way football should be, in my opinion. Now, the part that I probably didn't like was the taunting part by Juju Schuster, you know, after that hit. And look, I know that, you know, Antonio Brown was in the background supposedly yelling karma because, you know, Vontaze Burfict has been involved in a lot of illegal things with the National Football League. But, you know, those part of things I think need that part of the game needs to be cleaned up. But, look, I enjoy a good division rivalry, and it makes it more appealing to the eyeball. And that's what football – you know, look, you go back, you know, to football, you know, back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. Yeah, it's kind of that way it was, you know.
It's happened all the time, right?
You know, so I just don't want to see players get hurt because of things that are illegal. Hard-hitting, tough football games, that's what it's all about.
That's what you signed up for sure. And so there you have it, a couple of key stories in the league. So Jags, Seahawks, let's get our final thoughts about this game coming up. 8-4 football teams. The Seahawks, well, they obviously needed to kind of stay right there in the hunt early in December and in the NFC West against they've got teams in that division. The Rams are playing great football. So the Jags obviously needed to keep pace with Tennessee and see what's going on in the AFC South and in the playoff chase for the first time in a long time. Two different views of this game because Seattle's been there the last 5, 6 years, 7 years in the hunt at least, in two Super Bowls, won one of them. The Jags haven't been there since 2007, so there is very little
playoffs.
Right, very little knowledge of how any of this works for most of the guys on this roster.
Yeah, but it's a football game, you know, and I think that's you know what Doug Marrone has been emphasizing those football team all week long. It's a football game, and you know, don't treat it like anything different. You know, prepare, do your work, you know, and be ready to play on Sunday. It's what it's all about, you know, but even though your coach is saying that, and you're trying to block out what is being talked about in the hype of a big game. I mean, look, the reality is those thoughts creep in. Like I said earlier, if that talk and that hype helps motivate you, I'm all for it. But what you don't want to see is a player that it becomes to where he's so amped up that he's burnt, 2,000 calories from warm-up to kickoff. You want to save those calories, for when they kick the ball off. And the Seahawks, because they've got guys that have been there, done that, I don't think it's a big deal to them. And you hope that this team is ready to accept that next step, which the next step is playing good football in December and giving yourselves an opportunity to advance to the playoffs and possibly win the division. And I think it's a challenging step, but it's one that is going to be there for this football team because, if you end up winning – and Tennessee goes to Arizona and loses, here you go.
All of a sudden, there is an outside chance.
Here we go.
This team could clinch this week, by the way. I don't know if you saw that scenario. You got to win. Four other teams have to lose.
Jaguars get a playoff berth. If they win and the Dolphins, Bills, Chargers, and Jets all lose. So, and look, as a player, what more motivation do you need than that possible scenario happening, and that you're trying to win a division title, and here, most importantly, it's a game at home against a good, respected football team that is in the way of or trying to stop you from being where you want to be.
That's right. Yeah, Dolphins was one of those teams, right? Against the Patriots?
The Dolphins, which are playing the Patriots.
And that's on Monday night. That's the last of the
Bills are playing Indianapolis. Yeah, the Chargers are playing at home against the Redskins. And the Jets are playing – that's one I'm not sure of.
Stand by. The Jets are playing –
Denver.
Denver. That's correct.
In Denver, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Guess what? All four of those things could very well happen. So the only one that I picked the Chargers, so did you, okay? Phillip Rivers has been red hot.
They're hot.
But the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins.
Never know. Given Sunday with those.
When you got a good quarterback, you never know. So, I mean, these four things could very well happen.
New England probably is the one that's.
I don't know if they're going to beat the Dolphins.
So are you saying you have champagne on ice at the house Monday night?
I don't drink champagne, JP.
All access? Okay.
No. I don't drink champagne.
You're going to spray it everywhere, right? In the playoffs.
No, I don't drink champagne. No, in fact, I've never seen champagne in a locker room.
Not really a football thing.
No.
Huh? No.
No, going back to the early days, I might have seen a cold beer in a locker room.
Sure.
But I've never seen champagne. Because guess what? Never went to the big one.
Ah, that's when the champagne comes.
Now, I can tell you one thing. If I ever got an opportunity to play and win a Super Bowl, I'd have a glass of champagne.
Probably,
I might have a whole bottle.
You'd probably throw some around the locker room, too.
I would have a whole bottle for myself. Now, I wouldn't end up drinking the whole bottle because most of it would be sprayed all over the teammates.
Yeah,
that's
how it works.
That's good. Look, it's great. I think, and here's the thing that I'm looking forward to the most. It's been a long time since there's been, a meaningful big game in Jacksonville with a great opponent. And I think that this atmosphere is going to be electric. You want to see this crowd really be a big part, of this game. Because the communication aspect, the Seattle Seahawks, to disrupt that with crowd noise, to provide an extra boost with people being in the seats and being loud. I can tell you as a player, there was nothing greater than 96 and 97 and 98 when this place was packed. Packed. And it was that 12th man for your football team.
4:25 kickoff. The Jags and the Seahawks will be on the air at 1:30 with the Public's Tailgate Show, 3:30 with Countdown to Kickoff. Logs, have a good one. We'll see you Sunday. Jeff Lagerman, Max Hollywood-Hockman, Joe Fortunato in the house today. I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.